That's a great question. How did Google let it out that you could change your vote if you wanted to? That seems to go against, unless... Okay, you start thinking about it. By the way, greetings. Welcome back. Rush Limbaugh, behind the golden EIB microphone. Great to have you with us. The president, very close to arriving in Lansing, Michigan, for the first of three MAGA rallies today. At any rate, the question, why would Google allow that information out? Why would they allow it so prominently that you could change your vote? Seems like that's the kind of information they would censor or try to hide, unless. Is it possible that Google believes that a lot of this early voting is for Trump? Is it possible that Google thinks that, I mean, what else could it be, folks? What are the reason? This is because this makes, well, it doesn't make any sense for Google to allow this to be so widely known. According to Rasmussen, 54% likely voters believe Biden was consulted about, perhaps even profited in his son's business deals. Trump is now urging Americans to flip their ballots after Change My Vote trends. And the New York Post has a story about how you can change your vote and that Google has made it possible for all kinds of people to know. And there are instructional pieces out there how to do it. And one of the stories driving this is the fact that so many people want to. Early voters want to change vote after Hunter Biden exposés. New York Post has the story. The Post expose on Hunter Biden appear to have helped spark a rush of early voters seeing if they can change their minds. New York, one of a handful of states, giving some that unexpected right. You know, we're up to 65, 70 million people have early voted. Now, this would indicate that the people that want to change their vote are people who have voted for Biden, which kind of counters my theory that the reason Google let this out is because they know a lot of early voters have voted for Trump. Well, yeah, the New York Post is where the information came from. Google isn't where the change your vote info came from. It came from the New York Post. But I'm simply asking, you know, Google could easily censor that. I mean, censor everything else that might be helpful to Trump. Now, I got an email or two after my last little monologue, after the guy called in the last hour. I want to know what my sources were saying about the prospect of flipping the House and holding on to the Senate. And apparently my answer came across as a downer to, shall we say, a few people. And I didn't intend that to be the case. I was just doing a riff here on what I consider to be timeless, ageless American values. And using those timeless, ageless American values, there's no way Joe Biden should be leading anything. The guy's not working for it. He's not trying for it. He's not doing anything for it. He's just sitting up there taking space in his basement with a D next to his name. His running mate isn't doing anything. The media is running the campaign for him. He's not even running his own campaign. He doesn't have to. The media is. And I'm thinking to myself, that should not be rewarded. You know, I believe in the meritocracy of our culture, of our society. And I also believe in the profound concept of fairness and unfairness. And if you want to talk about unfairness, you know, young people today are obsessed with unfairness. Young people. High school students, college students, they're obsessed with it. One of the reasons they like Democrats is they think the Democrats are going to end unfairness. They think the Democrats are going to end inequality. You can't find somebody. I don't even think this is arguable. You can't find anybody who has been more unfairly treated at a base level than Donald Trump. Except it's worse than unfair, the stuff that he has been subjected to. So I'm simply saying that by all that is American, that's that kind of treatment of people, that kind of behavior by the Democrats, by the media, doesn't get rewarded in our country. That's all I was saying. But let me expand on this, if I may. Because one of the questions I asked, is it possible the pollsters could be so blatantly wrong two elections in a row? And common sense would tell you no, that their business reputations depend on them not being wrong so dramatically two presidential elections in a row. So they're out basically predicting identical results as they did in 2016. The only difference is that it's for plugs instead of Hillary. So the question is it possible for the pollsters to get it wrong again? Oh, yeah. It just doesn't seem likely, but is it possible? Hell yes. And maybe not on purpose. Maybe it's possible to get it wrong out of laziness or out of confidence that they're not going to be held accountable. I think that's a big deal. I think, and I've mentioned this before, if you're in any business where the mainstream American media is not going to hold you accountable, then you are free like other people will never know freedom. If you're never going to be held accountable for your mistakes, if you're never going to be held accountable for blowing it big time, then you're going to have less pressure. You're going to have less stress on being right. If nobody's going to hold you accountable, if nobody's going to blame you. And so without that kind of accountability pressure, is it likely or possible that these people could be overly confident once again? Remember, they have been poisoned with their hatred for Trump. Now, here's the thing. Let's go back to 2016. There's Trump arriving in Lansing. No, Joint Base Andrews. He's, I guess that's Marine One landing at Joint Base. Yeah, he'll be leaving here for Lansing, Michigan. If I got this right, Joint Base Andrews is just, you know, that's where you go after you leave the White House. You're going to catch Air Force One. So we get plenty of time. You go back to 2016, the electorate was what it was. And clearly the pollsters had no idea what the electorate was in 2016. They didn't know, and they didn't care, by the way. Remember in 2016, Hillary was going to win no matter what. Plus, they were running the coup. They had already started running the coup during the president's campaign. He calls it, they were spying on my campaign. It was so much worse than that. They were doing so much more than spying on his campaign. They were undermining it. They were attempting to plant spies in the campaign who would then call Putin and the Russians and then be able to release the news that the Trump campaign was colluding. And fortunately, all of those attempted spies didn't get hired. Man, oh man, what a stroke of luck. But anyway, the electorate in 2016, the media and the pollsters didn't care. They thought Hillary was going to win in a landslide. You know it. You remember it as well as I do. The election happens. Trump wins. Narrow margins. Battleground states. Narrow margins. Electoral college. Big win. Popular vote. He loses by 3 million because of California. You can even go back and say in 2016, you could make the point that the polling didn't get it wrong the first time, that they purposely skewed the polls to suppress and depress Republican turnout. Don't forget that is a common practice of polling units today, is to depress you into thinking there's no hope. There's no reason you to go vote. Your side's not going to win. They want you depressed. They want you suppressed. They want you dispirited. One of the best ways to do it is to flood you with polling data showing your candidate has no prayer. I think that was part and parcel of what they were doing in 2016. I think they're practicing it again this year. In addition to that, the electorate, I believe, has dramatically changed since 2016, and I don't think the pollsters have been working hard enough to keep up with the changes. I don't think they have the slightest idea how. For example, there is such a thing this year as a Trump Democrat. They didn't think there was such a thing in 2016, a Trump Democrat? No way. There is. There are a lot of Trump Democrats today, folks. Oh, don't doubt me on this. I think these pollsters this time around are even more invested in beating Trump, so they will have no qualms about lying about the numbers to depress Republican turnout. They'll lie about everything else. Why not their polling? That's the thing that you have to keep in mind. They lie about everything else. They lie about every other thing they say when they cover Trump. 92% negative coverage. Why would they be telling the truth about their polling? Why would polling be the one place that they're honest? Don't think it would be. I think they're dishonest from top to bottom. They're dishonest side to side. They're dishonest up to down. And they use everything at their disposal to depress you, suppress you, dispirit you. So there's a Trump Democrat in the electorate this year. They haven't bothered to find out. They don't even want to consider the possibility. They haven't bothered to study it. I think in the 2020 electorate, there is such a thing as a Trump black voter. I think there are more of those than the drive-by media and the pollsters would even acknowledge and try to find. And if it's just 10%, it's a game changer. I think there is such a thing as the screw you voter. These people lie to the pollsters on purpose. Some of them don't even talk to anybody. Some of them don't answer the pollster call or the email or whatever. But if they do, they lie to them. And you know what else? I look, every Trump rally, Ronna McDaniel or somebody in the campaign releases the data that they have amassed after surveying the attendees. And it's striking how many people who have never voted are attending these rallies in 2020. It's striking. Like in some rallies, it's as high as 40% who have never voted, who plan on voting this time around, because they relate to Trump. They've never related to anybody else. They've never bothered to vote. It's a stunning statistic at every one of these rallies. Also, the second really stunning statistic from these rallies, how many Democrats show up? That's why I say that there are Trump Democrats that are not being picked up by the pollsters. I think all of these groups, Trump Democrats, black voters for Trump. I even think that there's some women voters for Trump out there that are really being missed as well. And, of course, the screw you voter who's not talking to anybody or lying to pollsters, I think, and the first-time voters that haven't voted at all, I think all of these groups are being totally ignored and missed by the pollsters. They're going off the 2016 likely voter list breakdowns. That's what they're doing. That's how they're trying to find the respondents for their polls. And they overpoll the coasts. What good is it to poll the East Coast and the Left Coast when you're polling Donald Trump voters? That's not where they are. So, yeah, bottom line, I think it's possible for the pollsters to get it wrong again, even if they're not trying to. Laziness, overconfidence, which is a biggie, and the dramatic change in the electorate since 2016. This is another thing that they miss that I think they think is pretty stagnant or constant. And you know where this is the most – I don't know how to express this properly, but Obama was just doing a rally for plugs. He was in Orlando and another one of these car honk rallies. And I don't know, folks, Barack Obama – and I have to be as objective here as I can because of my own bias against the guy. I'd forgotten what a serial liar Obama is. But the guy just seems – I don't know, out of place. He doesn't seem relevant anymore. He doesn't seem, doesn't have that magnetic, infectious, God reverb popularity that he had when he was president. Just doesn't have it. You can just see it. He's not drawing crowds wherever he goes. And it's another bit of visual evidence that contradicts the conventional wisdom that Biden is winning and winning big. That just doesn't compute. It just doesn't make sense. Here is Justin in Manteca, California. I'm glad you waited, Justin. You're up next on the Rush Limbaugh program. Hello.
Hey, Rush. I'm in California, but I identify as a Republican. Mega dittos and mega prayers to you, Rush. We love you very, very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm super thankful that Justice Barrett was confirmed, but I'm very concerned that the only option for the left is to cheat in the election like we've never dreamed of or even seen before. And when it ends up in the Supreme Court, it's going to go in our favor, but it's going to lead to protests and violence, the likes of which we've never seen, not even like Philadelphia. All this stuff we're seeing around the nation is going to escalate, and I'm very, very concerned about that.
You are right. They're already planning it. They're already planning for there to be no announced winner on election night. They're already planning violence. They've got a lack of a better word, an agenda. I mean, they've got instructional manuals here on how this is all going to go down on election night. And regardless, Amy Coney Barrett, that's just icing on the cake. I mean, they fully expect things to not go well for them on election nights. They think that Trump is going to cheat and get away with it and cheat big. And they think the election's already theirs, but that Trump's going to find a way to take it away from it, and then Trump's not going to leave the White House. These people are paranoics like you haven't seen.
And the other thing that concerns me is that we're not holding these people accountable. You know, how are these people getting off scot-free so far? And if they continue to do this, how are we going to hold these people accountable? What are they going to do?
Like, which people are you talking about?
Well, you know, Barr, they refused to press charges on or indict any of these people that have been under investigation for so very long, but this coup and all this stuff.
Oh, that. Yeah,
It's just everything all together. It's so concerning. When are we going to say enough is enough? Enough is enough.
I know. I thought this was going to be that moment. I thought this was going to be the time that actually happened, this accountability. It may yet. It just may be after the election. Well, it'll have to be after the election if it's going to happen at all. I hear you. We got time. If you got one more question, fire it at me.
Well, the response to all this protest and violence is going to be more law enforcement, which is just going to spin it out of control even more with the media and things like that. I don't see how they're going to put an end to this. How are they going to do it?
How are they going? How's who going to put an end to what?
Well, okay, so what I'm saying is, you know, we have these protests, and the only way to stop that is law enforcement, which is going to reinforce the narrative that the law enforcement is, you know, on the wrong side of things, and, you know, the whole election.
Screw that. Look, this is – we can't say, well, we can't let the cops go do their jobs because it's only going to confirm what the left says about the cops. We can't do that. Law enforcement must do what law enforcement does. They must be supported while they are in the process of doing it. Anyway, quick break. We'll be back and continue. Let me give you more evidence, ladies and gentlemen. This voter suppression thing is accurate, meaning the polling units are actively trying to suppress your vote. They're trying to dispirit you. They are trying to depress you. They're trying to make you think it's over. Same thing that happened in 2016. These margins that they are reporting Biden leading by are designed to get you all depressed and down in the dumps and thinking that no matter what, you don't have a prayer. I'll just tell you one thing. If Texas were really tied like they're saying it is, guess where Biden would be? Plugs or somebody. They'd send Obama. Somebody would be in Texas. If Texas were really in play, they'd have somebody down there. And they don't. Texas is not in play for the Democrats. I don't care what these polling units are trying to tell you. I mean, Texas would be huge, folks, if they were flip Texas. And they're not going to flip Texas. And the evidence of that is they don't have anybody down there. Biden would be there if they had to prop him up, however which way possible. So where is Obama? Well, Obama's in Florida. Well, now, why? Because we're told that Biden's got Florida handily in the bag. Well, it's October 27th, and there is a poll, Florida post-debate poll, Susquehanna, in conjunction with the American Greatness. And get this, Trump is up 5 in Florida, 49 to 44. So this week they send the one to North Miami to do an appearance in front of 20 or 25 cars honking their horns, and today he's in Orlando doing the same thing. So this voter suppression thing that the pollsters are engaged in is a real thing. Now, I mentioned mere moments ago, ladies and gentlemen, that there are already plans in place to raise hell after the election. Now, what I have here in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers is a piece from the issuesandinsights.com website. It's an editorial, and the headline, "The Left's Post-Election Agenda, More Riots, Truth Commissions, and Other Punishment for Their Foes," which means you. Now, here's how the piece opens. You hear it every day. Somebody says, "I just want the election to be over," hoping out loud that things will somehow return to normal once this all ends. And I'm seeing that myself all over the place. I'm seeing return to normal. I just want to get back to normal. What's normal? Pre-pandemic? What's normal? I mean, it's an interesting question. It's like, what's smart? We have to redefine smart these days. We have to redefine normal. But the point is, people want to get back to normal. This year has been such a screwed up year that everybody wants to get back to the way things were before everything went down this year. So let me give you some pull quotes from this piece. Well, okay, return to normal. What most people mean by that is return to an America not so driven and pulled apart by politics that families and neighbors no longer talk to each other. It's a return to days where people become friendly. Politics kind of slinks away in terms of importance. The economy reopens, schools reopen, suspicion of others' political motives fade to the deep bracket. Folks, as long as the American left is out there as they're constituted, that's never going to happen. Unless they are resoundingly and defeated over and over and over again. And look, I don't mean to be a downer here, and I don't mean to be depressing you, but I'm telling you, if you are one of these people longing for that return to normalcy where politics was not front and center in American life, forget it. Did you see there's a story out there? DeAndre Hopkins is a former wide receiver for the Houston Texans. He was traded to the Arizona Cardinals. So in Phoenix the other day, he's driving around in his Ferrari, and he comes across this miles-long Trump car rally. Have you seen this? So he's got his Ferrari convertible down, and he's driving around with both hands off the wheel, flipping the crowd, the bird, with both hands. He's flipping off the Trump crowd, the bird, both hands, driving around in his Ferrari. Happily and proudly doing so. This guy's a football player for the Arizona Cardinals, and he hunts down a bunch of Trump people and flips them off with the bird. Don't give me, he's not oppressed. The guy's a multimillionaire. Yes, he's oppressed. Don't give me this oppressed. See, this is, I'm not falling for it. I'm not buying that. He's not oppressed. But my point is, if you're longing for the day where politics is not part of football, where politics is not part of baseball, there's only one way that's going to happen, folks. And it isn't by wishing it away. The only way that's going to happen is if these people on the left are routinely and continually politically defeated. You can't just wish things back to normal. They don't want things back to normal. They want everything politicized. As such, they have a post-election agenda. More riots. Truth commissions. This is where you are going to be sent to get your mind right. The other punishment for people like you who do not agree with them. Let me give some pull quotes quickly before I have to take a break. The plans are very specific. Sketching out activities even by date. Using online organization tools, the idea is to forge loose affinity groups that'll be free to take more high-risk action. As the Federalist's Joy Pullman, who dug up all this, noted, what kinds of actions these might be are stated in a strategic framework for action following the 2020 election that sketches out their plans for rioting and attacking American institutions and life until Biden is installed as president. This series of documents claim that if Trump declares victory, then that's going to mark the start of the coup. In other words, a Trump victory, not just Trump claiming victory, but a real Trump victory is going to be a coup. They're not going to consider Trump's victory legit. This is what they're telegraphing here. So much for your right to vote. If Trump declares victory, that will be the start of the coup. Their coup to kick him out, to get rid of him. Another pull quote. In fact, even if Trump wins in a landslide, and I believe that's possible, even if Trump wins in a landslide, Republicans win both chambers of Congress, the left already has plans for Trump to the disruption. And it's not some fantasy. After 4 years of nonstop interference with Trump's presidency by the Democrats, we know this is a hard reality. They're not going away. Trump wins, they're not going away. They're doubling down. And they're going to be doubling down on their insanity. And part of me says they are putting this news out there to scare you. They're trying to tell you, just back off, let us win, or you're going to be playing hell. You're going to be in the middle of hell, and we're going to be responsible. But if you let us win, if you back off, you don't vote for Trump, everything is going to be fine. You want peace? Let us win. Here's more evidence. There's a group out there called Shutdown DC. Shutdown DC is vowing street action, violence, riots, regardless of the outcome. We can't anticipate exactly how Trump and his enablers will try to attack democracy, but we know that the stakes are too high to sit on the sidelines and wait. That's why we are making plans to be in the streets before the polls even close, ready to adapt and respond to whatever comes our way. So, in the streets before the polls even close. What this means is attempted mass intimidation and instilling public fear. The left's bogeyman, a Trump coup. which in their fevered imaginations means any Trump victory at all. Any Trump victory at all is going to be considered illegitimate, folks. If he wins in a landslide, if he wins the House and Senate, it's going to all be considered illegitimate. Trump is going to have cheated. He's going to have colluded. He's going to have meddled with the Russians or whoever. You name it. They've already set the stage for this. In their little organizational manual here, it says, Trump has shown he will stop at nothing to maintain his grip on power. Trump will not leave office without mass mobilization and direct action, meaning expect riots. Now, I'm just sharing with you what these groups are publishing themselves to their quote-unquote members, supporters, what have you. But they, I'm just going to tell you what all this adds up to, they're not confident Biden's going to win at all. They're scared to death Trump's going to win, and they're setting the stage for declaring Trump illegitimate and actually running a coup rather than having fairly and squarely won an election. Gotta go. Back after this. All right, I just got a soundbite here that, let's see, okay. This looks like this afternoon, Good Morning America 3. So I guess Good Morning America runs in the afternoon now. I didn't know this. So we shall see. At any rate, what it is. The correspondent T.J. Holmes spoke with the stars of the Breakfast Club. DJ Envy, my old buddy Charlemagne the God, and Angela Yee. And during a discussion about the 2020 presidential race, Charlemagne the God and DJ Envy said,
one thing that the other side does is they're very good at talking to their base. Like, I read an article in the New York Times about how conservative talk radio was literally turning millions of people into conservatives on Rush Limbaugh doing a virtual rally for 2 hours. I'm like, why aren't the Democrats doing the same thing? Like, why aren't they getting on shows like The Breakfast Club and talking directly to their base? It's weird that they haven't been here yet.
It's weird they haven't been here yet. Well, who is they? Charlemagne the God. They is Biden. And Biden's already been to your show. And when he was on your show is when he said, if you ain't voting for me, you ain't black. So how does he top that? So Charlemagne the God is referring to the fact that Trump came on this program and did a two-hour mega MAGA rally. You know, folks, we haven't shared with the official audience figures for that. It's mind-boggling. It was mind-boggling. It was huge. And that's why everybody's talking about it. That's why the New York Times is talking about it. 2 hours. Now, I don't know why Biden isn't attempting to do the same thing on Biden-friendly radio outlets. Well, maybe I do. Biden can't do 2 hours, Charlemagne. He can't do 2 hours by himself anywhere with anybody. And I don't know how much you want to coach him. Here's Trump, by the way, this afternoon, Joint Base Andrews, explaining why he's going to Nebraska.
We have Omaha, and that's something that a lot of Republicans don't get, and I'd like to get it. Nebraska 1, you know, I'm way up. But Nebraska 2, I'd like to get it. And it's something that a lot of Republicans don't get. At the same time, I'm right by Iowa and the farmers. You know, we got the farmers $28 billion. So we're doing very well, as I understand, in Iowa and in Nebraska. But we're looking at that Omaha region.
All right, now see, this is classic Trump. So he's sitting there. He's going to go to Nebraska because it's next door to Iowa. At the same time, I'd be right by Iowa and the farmers. You know, we got the farmers $28 billion. And people say, what? $28 billion. He's talking about the Chi-Coms. He's talking about changing trade deals to the advantage of the American farmer, to the tune of $28 billion. This is one of these things he just thinks everybody knows. because he thinks the media is reporting all these successes, but they aren't. So he says, we're doing very well in Iowa, Nebraska, but we're looking at that Omaha region. Look, man, he's having a grand time, a great time, and he doesn't want to stop. You know, Biden's in Georgia, and he's out there saying that we need a president who will unite us, not divide us. Do you realize in America today that's not possible? I'll explain when we come back from the break here at the top of the hour. I mean, it may be possible, but it's a long shot because of